I will utter things hidden from the foundation of the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Saint Therese became a nun at 15. No wonder the older sisters in the convent intimidated her at first. She found it hard to open up, to confide in them. But she had a message, and she was going to deliver it in God's good time. One of the oldest nuns at recreation one day laughingly told her that it seemed she didn't have too much to say. But then she added, seriously, "Your soul is extremely simple, but when you're perfect, you will be even simpler. The closer you approach to God," she said, "the simpler you become." Cardinal Byrne of Westminster famously said of St. Therese of Lisieux that she left mathematics out of the spiritual life. "A simple but a total confidence suffices." Yes, the same virtue which hope, the gift of God, one of the three theological virtues, animates in us, enables us to survive and to thrive in the dark days that are come upon us. And that same virtue must accompany us to our last crucial day when we leave this life for the next. This same nun, she was Sister Fibronia, was second in command of the convent, sub-prioress. And when St. Therese was confided care of the new sisters, the novices, the older sister grew concerned because it seemed to her that in her speaking she was forgetting about God's justice in favor of his mercy, as though the two could be opposed, but they cannot, because of the simplicity of God. St. Therese would say that she counts on God's justice to show her mercy. Why? He knows our story. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our good intentions and all of the rest. Sister Fibronia considered that kind of confidence presumptuous. She approached St. Therese, and St. Therese lovingly and calmly, of course, tried to explain things respectfully to this older sister, but with no success. Sister Fibronia was pretty decided about things. For St. Therese, God was more of a father than a judge. And she took the liberty, Therese did, even though she was much younger, of concluding the conversation by saying, "My sister, if you look, if you look for the justice of God, you will get it. The soul will receive from God exactly what she desires." 1 year hadn't passed after this conversation when, in a very bitter winter, there was a flu epidemic as well. Flu happens every year. Some people get sick, and some people die, and life goes on. It has always been that way. It's no reason that we must now submit ourselves to a communist revolution and a totalitarian state. Well, this older nun died too in January of 1892. 3 months later, St. Therese recounted that she had a dream the night before. And in her dream, she saw Sister Fibronia, and she asked that we should pray for her, that she is in purgatory, surely because she had trusted too little in the mercy of the good God. St. Therese says, "Through her imploring behavior and her profound looks, it seemed to me she wanted to say, 'You were right. I am now delivered up to the full justice of God, but it is my fault. If I had listened, I would not be here now. Of St. Therese, it could be said that she was taught, and the church does actually, she was taught directly by our Lord, and thus, like him, she uttered things hidden from the foundation of the world. She once told one of her young sisters, "You don't have enough trust. You have too much fear before the good God. I can assure you, he is grieved over this. You should not fear purgatory because of the suffering there, but you should instead ask that you do not deserve to go there. Why? In order to please God, because only very reluctantly does our Lord impose this punishment." This is her formula, if you will. As soon as you try to please him in everything and have an unshakable trust that he purifies you every moment in his love, he lets no sin remain. And then you can be sure that you won't have to go to purgatory. And for the rest, I would sum up by saying myself, you ask Jesus to do this for you all the time, and you have confidence in him that he will, and that is enough. She even went so far as to say, St. Therese, that we offend God if we don't trust enough that we could get to heaven immediately after death. Imagine that. When she found out that her novices sometimes talked about, oh, well, we'll have to go to purgatory, she said, oh, no, it grieves me to hear that. You do a great injury to God in believing you're going there. When we love, we can't go there. Now, this is difficult, but only for those who don't know God, who are not childlike, who don't trust. It is true, God will judge us at one point, but he is always and first the Father who suffers, as parents do, you know this, who suffers when he has to punish his child. And this really means that God does not want purgatory. He allows that his children should suffer, but only, as it were, as he looks away so as not to see it. Now today, most people don't believe in God or in Jesus Christ, much less the church and the church suffering purgatory. But of those who are left, surely the common opinion among Catholics is that it would be nearly impossible to avoid purgatory. And people would say, well, I'm no saint. Or they would say, I'd be lucky to get there, believe me. Well, luck has nothing to do with it. Love does. And without trust or confidence, there is no love. Perfect love casteth out fear, Scripture says. St. Paul tells us today that Jesus hath delivered us from the wrath to come. Not only hell, but also the hell-like torments of that place of purification where, as St. Paul says, we shall be saved yet so as by fire. While many saints do indeed teach that very few escape its flames, the great teacher saints, St. Thomas Aquinas, St. Bonaventure, they say that the last anointing, extreme unction, would be enough were we to receive it in the right dispositions to send us directly to heaven upon death. Why don't more souls get the benefit of that? Well, the greatest saint of modern times, St. Therese, encouraged one of her novices this way. This particular training sister looked like she wasn't going to make it. She was slow getting up in the morning. She was sluggish going to her work assignments. She was snappy with answering back and never even mastered how the Carmelites were supposed to make their bed. She told her to have faith that she could get to heaven right away. Now, That seems a big step for anyone of us. And she says, if I fail all day, even in little things, this was the sister objecting, could I still hope for heaven right away? Yes, God is so good that he will know how to come and get you. But this is the big conditional, but she says, try to be faithful so that he does not wait in vain for your love. And when you make him wait in vain for his love, then you must wait in vain for his, because you don't really have to go to purgatory, not if you have that trusting love. And what if we're not? I mean, what if we're not faithful? After all, we're not nuns in a cloister. We're average people. And some of you are or have been big-time sinners. Well, again, this is what St. Thérèse Roche wrote this in her autobiography. One could believe that it was because I haven't sinned that I have such great confidence in God. But really, you have to tell them that if I had committed all possible crimes, this is the point, I would always have the same confidence. I feel this whole multitude of sins would be like a drop of water in a fiery furnace. And then she said, I want you to tell them in my autobiography, the story about that converted sinner who died of love, that souls will understand then immediately. It's a striking example of what I'm trying to say, but it's hard to put it into words. So that's the story of one of the monks of ancient Egypt called the Lives of the Fathers of the Desert. He converted a woman, Paiza was her name, who was a public sinner, and her evil life was a scandal to everybody. But this woman was touched by grace, and the poor sinner was told by one of the monks, one of the fathers, that she must do penance for many years. And so she followed him out into the desert, ready to begin. But on the first night of the journey, before even she had come to the place where she was to live, St. Thérèse says, her earthly ties were snapped by the violence of her repentant love. And at that very moment, the holy man, to his amazement, sees her soul being carried by angels up into glory. And then Thérèse says, this is a striking example of what I mean, but I cannot express in words. It might be helpful at this point to remember that this love is what we call perfect charity. It's not an emotion. It's not something that's felt. It's an act of the will acting on God's grace, his free gift of, in this case, the grace of hope, one of the three theological virtues. St. Thérèse, when she was dying of tuberculosis, was terribly depressed for those last months. She felt desolate. Everything was in darkness. And she felt, she only whispered this to those closest to her, but she felt that there was no God. She felt that she was an atheist and that there was no heaven waiting for her. And yet, she believed on, she loved on Jesus Christ. And then finally, who among us hasn't had this thought? After a life of struggle, pain, of grief, all the sufferings of this world, you mean to tell me that I've got to face more suffering in the flames of purgatory? Well, no, not if you will burn now. It's fire or fire, that's the word. Either you burn now with the fire of God's love, which is not an emotion, or it must be taken care of later. Ours must be a serene and unshakable trust. Now, purgatory is a wonderful grace for those who would be lost if they did not have it. But, and if it's needed, it does indeed lead to heaven, but still, there's another door. It's door B. Hardly anybody takes it. It's the door of trust. and of confidence, of abandonment to God. We don't count our merits. We don't count on our merits. Oh, we do our best. That's the paradox of Thérèse. Nobody ever led a life that was more concentrated every minute on the love of God and bearing all of that pain with a smile, day and night. And yet, she said, at the end of my life, I shall appear before God empty-handed. I trust him and not myself and not the good works I've managed to accumulate. Why? There is no trust without perfect love. And it's that that gets you in. So, confidence. And as well, in order to survive this dark winter of a world which is so distrustful, they want you to distrust other people as well as yourself. All you need to do is to trust and then to open your eyes the next moment in heaven as soon as you get there, because trust entails love, a perfect love, which abolishes every sin. So say it. Say it as though you mean it. Sacred Heart of Jesus, I place my trust in thee. And with Mary's help, you'll be able to do that. O my mother, my confidence. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.